This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the aftermath of an immigration sweep in the Chicago suburbs. We'll have that story, plus a weather forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. A University of Illinois professor says a legal challenge to the state school funding system could be pulled off, but other experts wonder if the replacement would be any better than the current system. Politicians and academics discussed the future of public school funding yesterday on the U of I campus. Law professor Lori Reynolds believes the current system that relies heavily on widely varying local property taxes could violate the state constitution's mandate for uniform taxation. She says a successful challenge in court would force the legislature to enact permanent change.
We are doomed to throwing money at the problem, solving the problem for a few years and waiting for it to reemerge if we continue to take the approach that just sort of tries to smooth out the edges of what I believe is an inherently fatally flawed system.
But economics professor Fred Gertz says a statewide property tax levy or other attempts to set a statewide adequate funding level could create a situation like California, which was once known for generous education funding.
Proposition 13 effectively eliminated local control, basically centralized finance, and education spending in California is very low now compared to what it used to be and compared to other states. So you have to be careful what you wish for.
For years, downstate school districts have criticized a funding system that lets wealthy districts raise much more property tax revenue than poorer ones. The oil company BP is being urged to take a public stand on protecting the Great Lakes. Illinois Public Radio's Michael Puente reports.
The oil giant has said it will not increase pollution discharges into Lake Michigan from its lakefront Whiting, Indiana refinery. This despite being given a green light by Indiana officials to do so under a new permit. But that's not enough for Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin and U.S. Representative Rahm Emanuel of Chicago. The two want BP to take out ads promising no extra pollution. They say such a move will be a public commitment by BP to protect the Great Lakes. The request comes after Durbin and Emanuel met with BP American President Robert Malone in Washington this week. BP spokeswoman Valerie Kaur says she hasn't heard about the ad request and could not comment. But Kaur insists the company won't go back on its statement not to increase discharges if and when a $4 billion expansion at the Whiting refinery is completed. Meanwhile, the Indiana Department of Environmental Management says the amended permit is legal and valid because it protects the environment. It has no plans to revert to the old permit. I'm Michael Puente.
A possible new ordinance that forces Champaign property owners to shovel their sidewalks after a snowfall is causing some controversy among business owners. The city council will vote at a regular meeting on such an ordinance for the downtown and university district areas. John Titchener owns TIS Bookstore in Campustown. He says he's all for the snow shoveling ordinance. He says that irritates him when the storefront, his storefront, is the only one that's cleared in his block after a snowfall.
I do it for multiple reasons, obviously, because I want the customers to have an easy access to our store. I want it to be a safe environment in front of the store. And I just think it's just a common courtesy to pedestrians that are walking down the streets.
Under the proposed ordinance, property owners would have to shovel their walks within 24 hours. But if an owner doesn't comply, even after being warned, the city would clear the sidewalk for them and send the bill to the owner. David Meyer owns Meyer Drapery in downtown Champaign. He says although he supports clearing the sidewalk, he wonders what would happen when the city's snowplows cover sidewalks with snow from the road.
It doesn't seem fair that snow would be piled up by the city on a sidewalk, and then the city would then charge property owners to remove that snow.
Meanwhile, the ordinance is in the process of being written after this week's City Council study session. An appeals court is ordering a federal judge to dismiss a suit challenging Indiana's ban on most automated telephone solicitations. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals says the case doesn't belong in federal court, essentially upholding the ban. The case stems from automated calls made by a Virginia company called FreeEats.com on behalf of a California group called the Economic Freedom Fund during the 2006 congressional campaign. Indiana Attorney General Steve Carter had sued the company in Brown County Court, but the company filed its own suit in federal court. There is an effort underway to honor a former Illinois governor who was twice nominated for president. Sean Crawford has more.
Edley Stevenson II lost both elections for the nation's top office to Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s. Despite his rise to the top of the political ladder, many younger people are unaware of his accomplishments. A group of elementary school students in Stevenson's hometown of Bloomington set out to change that. The students researched Stevenson's life and even produced a DVD. Their local state representative, Dan Brady, plans to take it a step further. He's introduced a measure that would create Adley Stevenson Day in Illinois.
Quite frankly, I was extremely impressed with the amount of work that those students had put forth. And I certainly think that our state government owed them the opportunity to experience the process and see that we get to the final goal, which is to remember and acknowledge Adley Stevenson in the state of Illinois.
Brady says the designation would be on Stevenson's birthday, February 5th. It still needs approval from lawmakers and the governor. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Federal and local officers arrested 58 people in a four-day sweep of the suburbs north of Chicago late last month. Immigration officials are calling it the largest dragnet targeting foreign-born gang members in Illinois history. But others say some of the detainees didn't deserve to be targeted and don't deserve what's likely in store for them now, deportation. Illinois Public Radio's Chip Mitchell has more.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement says the dragnet captured 37 illegal aliens.
These are individuals who are known gang members or associates, many of whom have criminal convictions in addition to gang membership.
Agency spokesman Tim Count says the other 21 detainees are permanent U.S. residents, but eligible for deportation just the same.
You are welcome here as a guest, whether it's for a two-week vacation or to live here your entire life as a green card holder. But if you commit certain crimes, the deal is off. You go home.
The permanent residents include 36-year-old Frumencio Acevedo of Round Lake. Acevedo has lived in suburbs northwest of Chicago since arriving from Mexico City at age 4. He has 10 siblings. Before retiring, his father ran a press punch in a Barrington factory. His mother cleaned rooms in a Lincolnshire hotel. Acevedo's gang activity began around the time he dropped out of school in 9th grade. He says the family had been living in an Elgin apartment complex claimed by African-American gangs. He talked about those years by phone from the Dodge County Detention Facility in Wisconsin, where he's being held.
I needed somebody to help me with these other gangs that were already, you know, which we consider to be jumping, which is being chased and beat down by more than like 3 or 4 members. And that's where I found my rescue was in a gang.
Mr. Acevedo knew what he was doing when he joined the Latin Kings gang.
That's Tim Counts, the immigration spokesman.
He knew what he was doing when he was convicted of narcotics racketeering back in 1993, when he was convicted of unlawful use of a weapon in 1992, when he was convicted of possessing marijuana and drug paraphernalia in 2000. Our involvement in this man's life is the result of his actions.
I don't deny that I have made mistakes in the past of my life, but I believe I already paid to society what the consequences were by paying fines, by going to prison.
Acevedo served a year and a half for the narcotics racketeering conviction. When he got out, he says he broke from the gang and started to turn his life around. Acevedo earned his high school diploma and then a broadcasting certificate. His big break came 3 years ago when he got hired by WLEY, a Spanish-language station in Chicago known as La Ley. This year, the station made him a producer of its morning drive show.
La Ley 107.9.
Acevedo says he should be allowed to stay and continue his work.
Not only because it's a dream job that I've always dreamed of having, but because I also am helping out the communities now.
La Ley sports reporter Liz Jimenez says the station has put Acevedo on the air a few times to tell young people what he's learned.
Gangs are not good for anyone, but also to the parents to keep in touch all the time and keep an eye on their sons and daughters.
Acevedo and his wife have lived in their Round Lake house for almost 7 years. The police detective who heads the village's anti-gang efforts says she's never heard of Acevedo and has no idea how he ended up among targets of the dragnet. Immigration authorities declined to tell us how, but Tim Counts, the spokesman, says it was no error.
We're saying that those we targeted were known to have gang affiliations and that the gang lifestyle is a threat to public safety. And that includes Mr. Acevedo.
Still?
Well, you know, ask any law enforcement officer and they will say that, you know, it's fairly well known that once you're in the gang, it's difficult, if not impossible, to leave.
In deportation proceedings, Acevedo's biggest legal problem may not be the gang-related convictions.
This is the irony of the whole case.
His attorney is Claudia Valenzuela of the Chicago-based National Immigrant Justice Center.
He can waive his more serious offense from 15 years ago, the narcotics offense, but he cannot waive a misdemeanor offense from 2000.
That's when he pled guilty to possessing a marijuana pipe and less than 2.5 grams of the drug.
I'd say that Mr. Acevedo has had plenty of opportunities for redemption.
Rick Jones serves on the board of the Chicago Minuteman Project.
And I would say Mr. Acevedo is getting off pretty easy if all he's getting is a free ticket back to Mexico.
If an immigration judge orders his deportation, Acevedo could appeal to an immigration board and later a federal appeals court. I'm Chip Mitchell.
Today should be an ideal September day across the two-state area. A little bit of rain moving into the forecast beginning tonight in some places. Sunny today, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser, with highs ranging from 77 in northern Illinois and Indiana to 83 in the south. For tonight, increasing clouds in northern Illinois with a chance of scattered showers after midnight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy with lows in the 50s. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun with some widely scattered showers and highs across the two states from 63 degrees in northwest Illinois to 83 degrees in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.